Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. A female inmate is pregnant from rape after California's transgender policy has forced women's prisons to house biological men. Joe Biden's handlers are determined to destroy America's energy industry by making seemingly insane choices. Counted among those decisions is their abandonment of Afghanistan and reversing Donald Trump's border policies by opening the southern border with Mexico to more than 1 million illegals. The use of fentanyl, legal and illegal, is destroying the lives of many Americans, and China seemingly is taking revenge for the opium wars of the past. Then Pastor John shares a few anecdotes about life in the service of Jesus. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, I'm going to call this message Chaos. Chaos in the United States and chaos in the world. Now, I want to start with insanity. And we have two parties here in the, actually, there are more, the two political parties that are major parties. We have the Democratic Party and we got the Republican Party. And the Democratic Party right now, they are in charge in the White House and in the Senate, House of Representatives, and also we have the Democrats running the state of California. So this morning, as I scanned the news, I actually read this news and I said, wow. Am I reading this right? But here's the story. Now, you know that the homosexuals are really pushing hard. And so we got male homosexuals, we got female, then you got those of what you call it are genderless, and then you have those that are men that says they're women and women men. So these are people that are transferring back and forth. So the California legislators have passed a law some time back by the Democrats that simply states this, that if a man is incarcerated in California as a man, but while he is in the prison, he decides, I'm not really a man, I am a woman. I'm a transgender, and I want to change my sexual orientation. So the law says that if whatever a person thinks, that's the way it is. So we had a number of men that simply declared themselves to be women in the California prison system. Now, it gets even more insane. So now, the law says this, that if you have a man that claims, I'm a woman, and I want to serve my time in a female prison, then the state has to accommodate that. Now, the man that says, I'm a woman, does not have to give any proof or anything like that. Just make a statement, I'm a woman, that's it. So the state said, okay, stamp them in the forehead, you are now a woman. So they transferred men to female prisons here in California. Well, about a year after they started doing that, guess what? Female prisoners started getting pregnant. And they had not been with their husbands, they had not been outside of prison. And so what happened is that these men, there are 300 so far that have applied to go to a woman's prison, and some of them are rapists, and they couldn't get a better deal. They get to go to a women's prison. They get locked up in a cell with a woman. The door is locked. The guards have taken the night off. And now they can rape without any responsibility. I mean, there's no charges filed after all. You know, these are women, you know, that are in women's prison. So that's the latest insanity from the Golden State, run by a lunatic governor, crazy legislators, and a lot of other crazy people. This is called chaos. So some of these women, and there's probably 10,000 women in the different systems here in California, they're simply scared, and they're simply saying this, don't, who will protect us? And the answer is, there is no protection. It is totally legal to rape women in prisons as long as you claim that you, as a man, are a woman. That's the latest scoop here from California. It's a crazy deal. So the question now is, where does all this come from? What's the motivating factor behind? Are the Democrats that stupid? Are they that dumb? And the answer is, the leadership, no. The flock, yes. Here's the deal. The goal is to destroy the United States, to get rid of our Constitution, to move us into a province so that we can have a world government, a world dictator, and they call it the World Federation. Of course, you got the Green Deal, you know, all the other stuff they have. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. So they decided this, that, you know, we want to do crazy things. For example, now, the average person that voted in the last election was told by President Trump that if Biden gets in, watch out for your gas prices, they're going to skyrocket it. Well, most people are numbskulls. And, you know, they thought, oh, that's just fake news from Trump, you know, another fake news. Well, I filled up gas Saturday, Costco, and now I'm paying about $4.20 a gallon. When President Trump was in, I paid about $2.20 a gallon. And they're simply saying, no, that it, the price is going to go up. So do we have an oil shortage? No. But, you know, the first thing that Biden did when he got in, actually not him, it was done by his staff, the shadow government. They closed down pipelines, they closed down this, they closed down that. At the same time, they simply told the Russians, you know, you can build an oil pipeline that goes under the Baltic Sea. Don't worry about it if it spills, you know, that's, if you don't live there. And that's pump oil right into Germany. So they're cutting production here. Prices are going up. And so now we are paying more. Is it done by design? Yes. You see, they don't want you to drive. Now, if you go to Sweden, they are paying approximately $8 or $9 a gallon in Sweden. And that's why I have small cars. You don't have big cars over there. They also say this, you know, we don't want people to drive into the cities We want people to stay home. They want to take the train or, you know, just walk or bicycle and what do you call it, public transportation. So if you, for example, if you're going to go into the capital of Sweden, which is Stockholm, they have, when you come close to the city, they are toll booth, and they simply saying this, if you are going to drive into the city, we're going to charge you a couple of $100 for driving in. But we do have parking lots here that you can park your car and then take the subway in or the train into the town. Well, the Swedes are even dumber than the Americans. For the last 30 years, they vote in the same government over and over again. I mean, they don't think. And that's the way that things are here in the United States. We got this problem. Now we got Afghanistan. Afghanistan is falling apart. Afghanistan is going to be another Vietnam, but it's going to be worse than Vietnam. We left Vietnam in 75, and the communists took over, and there was a slaughter. In Afghanistan, the Taliban is going to take over. And you've got to understand now that a Muslim, a good Muslim, hates women, hates everyone else who's not a Muslim, and they are to kill. They're also tribal. Already, as the United States is pulling out, and other nations pulling out, the Taliban is moving in, and they're going to simply kill anyone that worked with the foreigners. They're going to close the schools, particularly for girls, and they're going to put in what they call Sharia law. They're going to have Muslim law, and it's not going to be pretty. Is it our fault? Well, in the world, we didn't evangelize. Someone said in the 19th, as a matter of fact, it was General MacArthur said in the 1930s, he said this, this was 1930, 10 years before the war started. He said this, either we send missionaries to Japan now and evangelize them, or a few years later, we have to send troops and we have to bomb them. Well, he was right. We didn't send too many missionaries over there, and we have to bomb them into submission. And so the problem is that we simply have not done our Christian homework. Let me talk about fentanyl. I might pronounce that wrong. It's spelled F-E-N-T-A-N-Y-L, fentanyl. I'd be wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a drug. Let me read this to you. The illegally used fentanyl, most often sourced with recent overdoses, is made in labs. This synthetic fentanyl is sold illegally as a powder dropped onto blotter paper, put in eyedroppers and nasal sprays, or made into pills that look like the other prescription drugs of opioids. Now, some drug dealers are mixing fentanyl with other drugs such as heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, MDMA. And this is because it takes very little to produce a high with fentanyl, making it a cheaper option. Now, fentanyl is a very powerful drug. Since 1999, the statistics are that 841,000 Americans have died of a drug overdose. That is since 1999, so that's 22 years ago. In 2019 alone, 70,660 people died in the United States of these different drugs. So now the drugs are coming in. Where are they coming from? They're coming from China. The Communist Party runs China. They have state laboratories. They're producing fentanyl. It's sent over here. It goes in via Mexico. And by the way, that's about, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. So that drug is coming in. So a lot of people, they simply have young people. Let's say you take, that happened all the time. You take a person, 20, 21 years old, could be college girl. She says, you know, I'm going to try fentanyl. One pill. And they die. One pill. They're not even hooked. It's the most dangerous drug there is. So why is China doing that? Well, it's payback. To those of you that don't know your history, and that's most of you, in the 1850s and 60s and 70s, England and the United States had what they called a gunboat diplomacy. China was ruled by an emperor, and there was a river going all the way up to Beijing that was large enough they could sail gunboats up there, destroyers. And the emperor of China said, I'm going to close the borders. I don't want any opium in. It's destroying my people. And he simply put the Chinese military out there and said, no more opium. The very nice government of England and the benign government of the United States says, not so. We don't like that. We want to continue to sell opium to the Chinese people. Because it do two things. It enslaves them, and we make money. So the British Navy, Royal Marines, the U.S. Navy, and American Marines simply went over to China, rode all the way up in the ships up to Beijing, shut their way in, and they forced the emperor to simply say, I'm sorry, gentlemen, you may send in your opium to enslave our people. The Chinese leadership have never forgotten that. They died. They told that to their children and to their children. And now we got fentanyl coming in to this country. That brings me to the border crisis we have now with Mexico. So under President Trump, the border was closed to Mexico, and people had to apply, and they had to stay in Mexico, wait for papers to come in, and so on. And on day one, after Biden took the office, the border was wide open. ICE cannot work anymore, let's see. Police for the immigration services. The Border Patrol cannot do it. And now the world government is very smart. They simply said this, we're going to send up children. Let me ask you this. What do you think these children that are 4 years old, 6 years old, up to 10 years old, they come to the border without parents? Now, think about this. How did they get there? They come from Honduras. They come from Costa Rica, Nicaragua. They come from different countries in South America. How did it come there? Well, we got the cartels. So parents, if you live in one of these countries, here's how it works. You have children. Somebody knocks on your door and say, we want to have three of your children. We take two boys, one girl. Now, what would you say as a parent? You see this guy here. Simply, who are you? He says, I got the gun, man. I want these children. So the parents have a choice, either die, give the children. They are then taken into the traffickers. These are human traffickers. And they are then shipped up to the border with Mexico, the United States. By pushing these children over the border, about 800 or 900 or more a day, the Border Patrol now has to babysit these children. They just can't leave them in the desert in the dry places. So the Border Patrol now gets very busy. They are now running daycare centers. They call it cages. Some of the children have COVID-19 and so on. And they are placed in the centers. Now, the cartel then simply says, hey, we got the Border Patrol totally busy on the side here. Now, send in the drugs. And the drug runners run it in. There's no one in sight to check it out. Now, isn't that a diabolic plan to kidnap children in different countries in South America, to send them up trucks, buses, and to flood the border with unaccompanied children, to tie up the Border Patrol so that the drugs can flow in? What does Biden do? Well, he doesn't even know the border exists. What about Kamala Harris? Oh, that's no border crisis. We have it all under control. Yeah, they got it under control. It's happening what they want. So, this is where we are on a border crisis. Now, if you want to fly in the United States, you've got to have a mask. And they are now threatening that we are going to have vaccine. You're going to have a passport. And many companies now saying you're either vaccinated or you're terminated. And you ask yourself this, why do they require this of Americans when we have 100,000 people coming in every month through the southern border? No restrictions, no mask, nothing. Most of them have COVID-19. And then when they get to the border, the adults, they put them on buses. They send them to Washington, Nevada. They send them up to Minnesota. Every state, they're getting busloads of people that have COVID-19. And then you hear Biden said, put on a mask, put on a mask. Get vaccinated, boy. Get vaccinated. And I want to tell the guy, I would like to take him in his coat like this and just pull him up a little bit and say, hey, buddy, do you know where the Mexican border is between the United States and Mexico? He's going to say, no. Is it insanity or is it planned? It is absolutely planned. So we got this chaos in the United States. And now you're saying this, where is this going? Is there a chance to do anything about it? I realized, and I'm going to do this again. I'm going to show you my book. And last Sunday, I showed my book here, My Life, My Calling, My Destiny. And as I was thinking about it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that book has 4 points. Now, I have been lambasted. I have been attacked. I've had churches destroyed under me. I've been threatened. And the question is, why? Well, here's what I did. And by the way, my staff has not been able yet to get this up. We overloaded. We're way behind on every production. But I got a price, about $5 for the shipping, I was told Saturday. So if you want this book, I mean, it's going to blow your, I don't know, your socks off. Send in $45. Just donate $45, says, I want the Bible. And they will ship the book next week. We have them in stock now. But here's why. I was attacked because, as a Southern Baptist, I began to preach about the Holy Spirit. The Baptist Holy Spirit. The Baptist people said, you know, or the Baptist denomination said, that is a crime. I was kicked out. Matter of fact, I was labeled unfit for Christian service. I fought for some time. Finally, I got to the seminary to remove that. What else did I do that was wrong? I start thinking about the Antichrist. How is it going to come? What's going to happen? I stumble onto the Kabbalah. The Holy Spirit opened up more. And I learned about Israel, the Kabbalah, Zionism. And man, I might as well have taken a stick and poked into a hornet's nest. They all came out. So I was labeled anti-Semitic. We are listed as haters by a group. And when you look at it, it says general hate. Because you haven't done anything. Strike number two. Strike number three. I was talking about demons and deliverance. And now the Pentecostals got unglued. Pentecostal doctrine says a Christian cannot have a demon. That's not right. It's not true. And you go to the churches, they're full of people that are demonized and are not making it. And they simply say, well, you're not supposed to have that. So pray more, read the Bible more, do this more. And if that doesn't have, go and see a shrink. Or a psychiatrist, they will help you out. So I start preaching about demons. They said, we can't have that. I got smeared. Then I start praying for the sick. We've had a lot of healings. And now they said, no. We can't have healing. Listen to what I'm telling you now. In this world of chaos, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit baptism. We need to know about the Antichrist. We need to know how to cast out demons. And we sure need to pray for our sicknesses and infirmities. These are the four crimes that I am charged with. I'm proud to say I'm guilty on all four of them. But as I looked upon a book, this book that I just wrote, and I told you about my biography, I am telling you the inside story of the churches, of the denominations, how they work behind the scenes, how they shun, how they lie, how they cheat. They have a network. Anyone that is not of the mold gets destroyed. But now, let's start giving you some good news. We got a call this week from a person in Colorado. And, you know, I usually get bad calls, you know. We got problems. Can you pray for me? We got problems. But this guy said, you know, I listen to you on Omega Man Radio. I'm on there every Monday. For the last 16 weeks, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit. So, he said this, God used you to change my life. So, I decided to call the guy back and called him back last night. And he said, it's incredible. He's about 60 years old. He said, I was a smoker for 40 years. I tried to stop. I couldn't stop. 40 years. I listened to you. I heard about the Holy Spirit. I decided to pray. And I rebuked the addiction one night and said, that's it. He said, the next morning when I woke up, I had no desire to smoke, felt nothing that I wanted to smoke. He said, I tried for many years. In just 5 minutes, the Holy Spirit delivered me from smoking. I wasn't there. He prayed himself. Why? Because I put the word out. I told people, pray for me to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He got the word. He believed. He prayed. He got it. He said, furthermore, he said, I've been an alcoholic for 10 years. I couldn't let the booze go. He said, I was instantly delivered from alcohol and nicotine. He says, my life has changed. I'm a new person. He's flying high. And he is so excited. And he said, you know, my life has changed. Well, this is one person that our ministry has reached. So what I want to tell you is this. As the devil is putting on his show, it's getting darker. The Holy Ghost says, I got more power than you, devil. He's putting on his stuff. And there are things happening. Yes. Let me talk to you a little bit here, in closing here, about deliverance. We can do, I have a team. I got Pastor Alexi. I got Sister Carol. And that's a team I got right now that can do deliverance. I have to jump in now and then to help out a little bit. We can do 12 people a year. We do one deliverance a month. It takes about a week to take a person through deliverance. So, 12 people a year. It's a pity. I would say this, that most people born after World War II, 1945, have an arrested development spirit. Now, go and ask a Baptist pastor, Pentecostal pastor, what is an arrested development spirit? He says, what? Can I eat it with a fork? They don't know. An arrested development spirit is the most common spirit today, demon. It's a vicious demon. It comes into children while they're still in the mother's womb. Mom and dad fighting, instability in the home. Fear comes in that baby because they have an adult soul. And so we have people that simply are 0 years old emotionally. Because that demon comes in, clamps down on emotions. The body grows up. Intelligence develop, but emotions, we got a baby. You know what I've encountered? I encountered this. I deal with children that got arrested development spirits. I then talk to the parents. Mom and dad got arrested development spirit. I then talk to the grandparents. They got an arrested development spirit. With other words, we have grandparents, parents, and children, and they are all children. It's like everybody's living in, would you call it, a nursery or a kindergarten. And now you have grandpa, grandma, dad, mom, children with an arrested development spirit. They're all immature, don't know what to do, can't make any decisions, just blowing it up and down. And no wonder the family is falling apart. When we do deliverance, I found this out. Most children, people that come in, they had a bad childhood. So, we find out, mom was out running around with other men, got pregnant. Dad, infidel, has adultery. I go back to the grandparents, the same thing. Divorce. Then you have people marrying in other people. So we now have your children, my children, and our children. Now, it is not easy to merge a family. People are divorced, marry, and then bringing in three batches of children. It's chaos. And so, can something be done? Yes, it can. Just about every year, I'm not going to give any names exactly where we've done it, but that's the type of people coming to us. They're simply wiped out. And we have to take them, we have to clean them up, get the demons out, line them up with the Word of God, and then we have to baby them and tell them, you know, please control your emotions, don't get upset, pray over things, discuss things out, try to build something up. I'm running a nursery, a worldwide nursery. It's the same thing in other countries. That's the ministry that God has given to me and this ministry we are here. Can we do more? Yes, we can. I have people coming in and saying this. I try to commit suicide. I have people that come in. They show the scars on their arm for they cut themselves off. Or cut themselves up. They says, well, my nephew committed suicide. My mom committed suicide. Dad committed suicide. One of my children committed suicide. It's a chaos out there. In the meantime, if you go on television and look upon these main preachers, you find out that all they do is, you know, we need more money. We got to evangelize. Yeah, they need more money for their mansions, for their vacations, for their security, which they pay a lot of good money for that, more cars. And it's a sad story of the church. Now, I came up, got called into service by God in 1967, and this is what I said about my book here. I wrote it. I listed it to everything that has happened to me here, what happened to other people. This is all the history of our church. And some people are saying, are you putting real names in there? I said, yes. I only want one family I changed. But those are real names. And he says, well, there's some of them alive. I said, I know. I said, they should be responsible for what they did. And they're going to hear it at the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment. But I want to hold some people responsible. I had a man that tore up. We had two different churches. We had one in Carmichael. We had one church in Citrus Heights. And this man came in, weaseled himself in, and then he said, we should not cast out demons. He got the half of the church stirred up, and because we cast demons out, he destroyed it, people left, we lost the church, had to start over again. I tell you what, you preach the word, you preach it true. You cast the demons out, you pray for the sick, and you expose the Antichrist, and you're going to have the devil on your tail. But the Holy Spirit is greater. So what now? We have people in Texas. I got people in Idaho. We got people in New York. I got people in California. I got them in many different states. We're fighting on all fronts. And our people here, particularly Pastor Alexi and Sister Carol, are very busy. And this is what I hear, Carol, I want you to know that. I hear that from people. You got a very nice woman by the name of Carol. She's been so good. She prayed. She gave me comfort. She's always there. But I need more people. Now, some of you are sitting in different parts of the United States, and you're just waiting for your flight to heaven. And you're just wasting your time. I could use retired people. Praise God, I got some young people here we're trying to raise up. But we need more. So, God is moving in the midst of this. Some of you are going to lose your jobs this year. Some of you are working for either the federal government or for different companies, and they're going to demand vaccination or termination. And you are now the vaccination is not the mark of the beast, but it's very destructive. It's destructive. It's not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy. And if you say, I'm not going to take the vaccine, they're going to say, well, here's your walking papers. Some of you might lose your homes. You're going to have to come to a decision. What am I going to do? In the world, we don't have a future. If you're a strong Christian, you're going to be hated. There's no place for you and me in the world. But we have a place in the kingdom of God. And God wants to do great things through us. Amen. I'm encouraged. Are those people be taken through deliverance? They're able to function. We had one lady we sent back to Texas this last week. And she simply said, I'm so excited. I understand the scriptures. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She said, I'm forgiven. I feel light. The weight has been lifted. I feel I can breathe. She's been twice to the ER for suicide. One time pills, one time the knife, cutting herself up where she's bleeding to death. She almost didn't make it. Last minute, they pumped the stomach out. Last minute, they got her in, could stop the bleeding and give her a transfusion. Why? She couldn't see a way out. It was all black. Until Jesus came. And when Jesus comes, light comes. Power comes. Hope comes. And now, we can begin to live. When she came, she had a torn ligament. She had a stick. She had to walk with a, not the stick, but a walking cane. She had to use a cane. We picked her up at the airport, and we got her here to the property, and she was here for a week and a half. Not one day did she use a cane. I didn't tell her, don't use a cane. She just started running around like a girl. Run here, run there. And finally I said, hey, where's your cane? She said, I don't need it. She said, my balance is back. I don't feel woozy. She said, just getting to your place to be delivered was relief. There's power in the Holy Spirit. I want to use the script John chapter 14 with verse number 6. And we read this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Brigham Young is dead. They're all dead. Or they're dying. But Jesus is alive. Then he said this. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. In other words, he said, Jesus, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest you then, show us the Father? Believe you not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak unto myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Now I want you to listen there. Verse 11. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, whereas believe for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than he shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said, you and I will do greater works than the Father, than he did, because of the Holy Spirit. I've been lambasted, but I still say Jesus is the only way. The Holy Spirit is still here. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is real. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are real. The power of God is real. Make a choice. What do you want? And then in verse number 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you hear that? And whatsoever you that are born again shall ask in my name, Jesus' name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That man in Colorado believed these words. He said, this is it. I'm going to stand on it. And God gave him the victory. No one was there except Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God's holy angels. And then Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. The first thing we do when people come for deliverance is to simply say, you got to obey. We're not saved by keeping God's commandments. We keep God's commandments because we are saved. Now, I almost want to say knucklehead to you. Because there's so many of you out that have been taught wrong. Listen to this now. I have never, and I had officiated a number of marriages, but I never had a man and a woman simply say this to me, we're going to try not to commit adultery. They don't say that. They say, we're not going to commit adultery. I never heard a man say to the woman he's going to marry, you know, I got about 5 girlfriends, and, you know, I just can't give them up. I give you 6 days a week, but one day is for my girlfriends. I never had a woman say, oh, that's lovely, I love you so much, go ahead, man. Never happened. You know what a woman says? It's all or nothing. You know what that man says to her? It's all or nothing. We come to Jesus and we say, oh, well, you know, Jesus, I just can't help it. You know, I want to fornicate with the devil over here, and I'd like to get over here with some demons and so on. You know, you got to understand, Jesus, I'm not perfect. Hogwash. If people are sincere in a marriage, they will stay true to one another. You can't do it. My parents were married more than 60 years. My dad never had another woman. My mom never had a man. They were true. I've been married for 59 years. I never had a woman on the side. My wife never had a man on the side. We were faithful to one another. Why? Because we loved one another. And love binds. Love makes you do things. Again, verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I want to go to one more scripture here in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse number 9. I pray not for the world, but for that which you have given me, for they are thine. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And I come to you, and he thinks I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. The world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. God will protect us. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me, through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The last thing that the man from Colorado told me was this, as I talked to him last night. He said this, don't retire. I hope you don't retire. I wish you a long life. I said, no, I'm not going to retire. When I catch my flight to heaven, that's when I retire from being a combat soldier on this earth. I will not retire. Christians do not retire. We fight until we get called home. We need more people. There's so much of a need. And I tell people this, I'd like to help you, but I don't have the resources. We select certain people we can help. Others, I have to let go. And I know that they will perish. Some of them will end up in the hospital. Some of them will commit suicide. Some of their marriages will fall apart. Some will end up in prison. I know that. But I don't have the resources. Because Christians are simply not helping out. And I'm crying every Sunday. Do you want to help in God's kingdom? I'm not asking for money. I'm saying, are you willing to give of yourself? You can sit at home and fiddle. But you know, when I got that lady from Texas, I could not sit home and fiddle. We had to put in 8 hours a day to get her through. It was grueling, but it's rewarding. I don't have time to play golf. I don't like golf anyway. I don't have time to go fishing. I don't have time to do this or that. Because the harvest is great. I want to close with a scripture business from 1 John chapter 1. This then, and these things write unto you, that's verse 4, that your joy may be full. This is the message we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. I realize the message I wrote here for today is going to be next Sunday. If the Lord willing, creek won't rise and stuff like that. But this is the way the Holy Spirit led me to go today. Now, if you listen to me and you're not saved, and you says, you know, I'm at what you told me about. I've been thinking about suicide. I'm not making it. Our marriage is falling apart. Here's what you can do right now. Simply say this, God, I'm a sinner. God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me, rose from the dead, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Forgive me of my sins. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And he will. When we close here, you will see three crosses coming up on your screen. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles simply saying this, my friend, and he will take you through the plan of salvation, pray with you, so you can know that today you can be saved. And when you pray that prayer today, would you call us, write us, contact us and say, I got saved because I heard you preach today. We want to rejoice with you. We want to pray with you. Help you out and encourage you. Let us hear from you. And let me speak to the user now that are walking with the Lord. You're not living in sin. You're doing fine. But let me ask you this. What in the world are you doing with your life? It's okay. Some of you got to work. You got to work to put bread and butter on the table. But some of you got time on your hands that you're wasting. You could be a deliverance worker. You could be helping us out with different things. You might say, well, I live in another state. Well, you can move. Some of you have the means, because it's fine to have people help us out long distance, but I need workers here. I can't pay your salary right now. We can't pay your rent. You had to pull your own weight. But if I had 50, 60 people that would simply say, hey, man, train me. I'm willing to be trained. I want to do the work of God. We will train you. Amen. That means we could open up our capacity. We could have more people delivered. If I would have more people, I could do what we did in 2017. I took a team and went to San Diego and did a seminar on deliverance. I could go places, but I can't do it now because I don't have enough people. So when you pray today, would you say this, God, are you speaking to me? Are you uprooting me? Are you simply saying, it's time to go? I pray that God will send some workers into his harvest, because the harvest is great. Charles, coming close.
Luke chapter 10 talks about that exact thing. It says, and after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. If you skip down to verse 9, it says, and heal the sick therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And then in verse 17, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us unto through your name. And he said unto them, behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the most important part, is that, you know, when we go out, we're to be salt, light, we're to make a difference. And just say, well, that's too bad that you're feeling, you know, poorly. When I encounter people who are sick, there's times where I have a holy anger that rises up inside me, and I simply say, this person is a child of God. They're a Christian, and the devil is messing with them. How dare he do that, right? And how amazing would it be if Christians were just to walk into hospitals across the land and just clear them out and just say, you know what, we're going to start at the ICU, the hardest part, and we're going to swing through every single floor, every single ward, and we're just going to clean out these hospitals. That would be the power of God. And no matter what you would do, the devil would spin it, and he would turn it around and say, you know, something else happened. But it wouldn't matter. It would be undeniable. Father God, we thank you for your word. I am encouraged when I read it. And as Pastor John said here, pray you therefore that the Lord would send laborers to his harvest. And so, Father God, we're working with our 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's not a whole lot, but it's what you've given us. And so, Father, as we work with this, we're believing you for the increase, that you, through your Holy Spirit, can speak to people. You can touch people and convict them, convince them that they need to do some kind of a change in their life. And so, Father, I just thank you for your sovereign work. As we do our part, you're going to activate other people to do their parts. And as we all do our individual parts, we are now working together as a team. We may not be aware of everyone else, but we're doing the things that you want us to do. And Father God, help us to just be have discernment and be mindful of the things that you want us to do, so that every day we can lay our heads down on the pillow with confidence, knowing that we did everything that you wanted us to do that day. We held nothing back. And we thank you for this now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
Been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled Chaos Engineering.
A female inmate is pregnant after California's transgender policy forced women's prisons to house biological men. Democratic lawmakers have made rape possible, and the incarcerated women are the collateral damage. Unsurprisingly, the politicians are tone-deaf to their cries for help. Joe Biden's handlers are determined to destroy America's energy industry by canceling the Keystone pipeline and going so far as to support a Russian pipeline under the Baltic Sea. Policy blunder also includes 20 years of investment in Afghanistan going up in smoke, canceling Donald Trump's border wall, and opening the border with Mexico to more than 1 million illegals in just 8 months. The use of fentanyl, legal and illegal, is destroying the lives of many Americans, and China seemingly is taking revenge for the opium wars of the past. Finally, Pastor John shared a few personal anecdotes and closed with the truth that God is on the throne, there is no crisis in heaven, and the Lord has a solution to every problem. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1820. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.